Well, hello everybody and welcome to the brand new month of May at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, we have an open line for you right now. The number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I think we're going to have a mic drop moment here at the beginning of the broadcast.
I'm up for it.
Andrew Farley is with us, and we're going to talk about, I think, one of the most important verses in the Bible, and it's Colossians 1:27. And the last part of it simply says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if you're a believer, if you are alive in Christ, it means that Christ is alive in you. And if he's alive in you, it means that he has forgiven all of your sins. He wouldn't come to live in an unforgiven person. Yeah. Because he's alive living in you, all of your sins have been forgiven. It also means that he has made you holy by that once for all sacrifice. You have been made holy in the sight of God. God's holy, and he's not going to come and live in an unholy vessel. So he's made you holy. He's made you perfect. He's given you his righteousness. He's made you alive. And so because all of those things have happened through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he has come to live inside of you, which means you are eternally secure. It means you are forever in the grace of God, now and for always. And that's the mic drop moment. I mean, people are so worried about whether they're in God's favor or not. Well, the very fact that Christ lives in you, his presence guarantees that you're in his favor forever. And boy, that's good news. I think that's exactly what Paul had in mind in Romans 8 when he said, God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? I mean, this is the reality that that God wants us to know, not just to know about, but to fully know and experience. His presence in us is our hope of glory. It's a marvelous deal, and it's out there in the world. It's kind of the forgotten half of the gospel. We spend so much time on the cross, we forget about the reality of the resurrection and what that means to us. And I think one of our goals and purposes here at Basic Gospel and Andrew through Andrew Farley Ministries is to bring awareness to this second half of the gospel, the fact that Christ comes to live inside of us.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. I mean, you know, we talk about our faith like it's a generic thing. You know, politicians talk about my faith, your faith, our faith, and we talk about faith like it's a thing. But what we're really saying is Christianity is Christ, and Christianity is specifically Christ inside of you. Now, when we say this, take us literally. I mean, we're not talking about something symbolic. We're talking about being fused with Jesus, merged together, one spirit with the Lord, Christ in you, you in Christ. That's what we're talking about. And it's the powerful influence and motivation and inspiration behind everything that we call the Christian life. So that's why we're so big on the resurrection. I mean, the resurrection is not just something you want to celebrate at Easter. The resurrection means that you have his resurrected life, his power over death, his power over sin, living inside of you in the person of Jesus. So God cleaned house, that's forgiveness. God cleaned house, and then he moved in as the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. He doesn't dwell in dirty places. He cleaned you, and then he poured his life in you, and then it says that he sealed you up until the day of redemption. So, you know, people are wondering about assurance of salvation, and, you know, we don't need to be asking, did I say the right prayer? Did I walk the right aisle? Did I do the right thing to be saved? No, what we need to be asking is what Paul asked. Paul said, does Jesus Christ live in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? That's the test. And And if Christ lives in you, that is what we need to focus on, think about, reflect on, and set our minds on every single day. Christ in us, our only hope of glory.
Good news. Good news.
It is. You know, guys, interesting you said it that way, Andrew, because I think every day at Basic Gospel is a special day because our listeners are hearing the truth of grace in a clarity that is sadly not often heard across the land. So to me, every broadcast day here at Basic Gospel is a special and precious gift to the body of Christ. And a heads up about our broadcast plans for tomorrow and Friday. Bob, tell our listeners what we plan for them these next couple of days.
Well, tomorrow and Friday, we're going to have a special time with Richard Pfeiffer. At the end of June, he's retiring. He's been with us for almost 20 years, and he's been a blessing to us. Many people know his story, but I want the whole world to know his story, what Jesus Christ has done in his life, and how the grace of God has just transformed him inside and out. He's one of the most interesting characters I know. His life story is interesting, and we want to get it out there. And I think you're going to be fascinating to hear his beginnings, what his religious background is, the things that he once believed, and how God just radically changed him. And then how he was in a high-tech industry, a lucrative career, and decided, hey, I want people to know what I've experienced, and came to join with us and to tell this good news of Jesus Christ to as many people as he possibly could. So tomorrow and Friday, we're going to tell the Richard Pfeiffer story. We're going to let him tell his own story.
I've got to get a story. Wow.
That's right. But don't miss it, folks. Right. Absolutely tune in. You're going to be blown away. It is, like I said, a powerful story and one of the most interesting you will ever hear.
Tell your friends and family about it for sure and join us. That's Friday, tomorrow and Friday. The title is What's It Worth? And I think that's an interesting title, Richard. We're looking forward to it. Well, again, 844-322-2742. If you have a question, give us a call right now. In the meantime, this question came in overnight.
This is Joy from California. How do I open up my heart to receive anything from the Lord, like grace or love or more faith? I just don't know how to open up my heart. And I would be thankful for an explanation over the radio for this. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
It's an excellent question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Andrew, how would you advise her? What would you say? What does the Word of God say about this question?
Well, Joy, I think we have some wonderful news for you. First of all, what you're asking for is not far off. What you're asking for is not difficult. The way you've expressed it is, how do I open my heart? Some people talk about softening their hearts. And here's the great news for every believer. Jesus Christ has already done this to our hearts. In other words, salvation itself, just think about it for a minute. Ever since we were maybe 8 or 10 years old, we heard the idea that Jesus could come live in our hearts. And we start off with that terminology straight from the scripture. You know, he pours out his love into our hearts. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. And we take this as a small child, many of us as young believers, and we take it to heart, literally. And then, as the decades pass, we hear sermon after sermon and message after message about how we've got hard hearts and how we've got wicked hearts and how we've got sinful hearts. And then the issue becomes clouded. And decades later, we're asking, how can I open my heart and how can I soften my heart? Well, guys, you know, this is not complicated. We simply have to get back to the truth about every believer's heart. The Bible tells us that God at salvation, God takes out our heart of stone. That's part of what this new covenant is. I take out your heart of stone. I give you a new heart, a living heart. I give you a new spirit. I give you my spirit. And so God has done a heart surgery at salvation. And so Romans 6 tells us that we have an obedient heart. It says we were slaves of sin, but we became obedient from the heart. Now, that's true for every single Christian. So then, Joy, you say, well, gosh, I don't feel that. I feel hardened sometimes. I feel distant. I feel dirty. So what is it that needs to happen? Well, the great news, number one, is it's not your heart that is the problem. You've got that new heart, and you've got Jesus living in it. So look out for your new desires. They're there, and they're awesome. Look out for your new spiritual passions. They are there, and they are incredible, because you are born of God and born of the Spirit, and you've got a new heart. But we're learning. We are learning and growing and experiencing the renewing of the mind. So do we have some old attitudes that are perhaps hardened? We've got some rebellious attitudes over the years, perhaps. We've got some I'll do it my way, Lord, attitudes. We've got some old leftover stinking thinking. Absolutely, we all do. And that's why we're learning and growing and always looking to God's Word and trusting His Spirit to renew our attitudes and our mindsets and our thinking. So if you'll make the one-foot journey with me, Joy, this is what I'm saying, that you can live from your heart and then bring that one foot up into your head, into that gray matter area of our lives where we do our thinking. We can live from the heart and think from the heart, all the while recognizing that we've got a new heart, a righteous heart that is born from God, born from above, and that is a beautiful thing to know as a believer.
Yes, it is, Joy. I hope you're listening, and that's a big encouragement to you. I would just add one thing, and it's the fact that because of what Christ has done, we're able to express genuine thankfulness to Him. And in whatever situations we find ourselves in, a lot of us are going through difficult experiences in life. We may be going through physical illnesses. We may be experiencing some sort of pain. But because of the work of Jesus, we can say thank you. And that's a sign that God has done His work in us. So, Joy, you've been made new in Christ. Christ is alive, living in you. Just let that truth overwhelm the heart with this attitude of gratefulness.
Indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial. If you're hearing the broadcast live, we'd love to hear your voice right now. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. Had this email that came in from an anonymous writer. Says, what happens to those who die without receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior? Is there another chance for them to accept His work?
Bob, it doesn't seem like the Scripture says there's another chance after death, that somehow we're in a holding tank thinking things over again. It seems like today's the day of salvation, and what we decide about Jesus here and now is what really matters.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, there's the teaching out there about purgatory. Somebody might go into purgatory. It's kind of a cleansing or something that will enable them to make it into God's presence eternally. But the Scripture just doesn't teach that. In Hebrews 9, it says, after death comes the judgment. So each person is given ample opportunity to respond to the message concerning Christ. And Christ is going to make sure that message gets out there. You know, there's lots of people that say, what about those in third world countries, remote areas, who have never heard? Well, I think God is capable of getting His message concerning His Son anywhere on the globe. Yeah. And I think He's faithful to do that. And so we know that there are Christians in every corner of this world. So there's ample opportunity to respond. Nature itself is full of the evidence that God is real, that he exists. And if we know that, then we can say, Lord, reveal yourself. We want to know you. And so no one is going to be without excuse. So if somebody goes all through this life and they reject the offer of life, and when they take their final breath, they died in a state of spiritual death, and that's going to be their state forever. That's going to be their judgment. And so that's a sad thing. And all they had to do was receive life, receive the very life of Christ. So if somebody dies lost, they're going to remain lost forever.
Yeah, this is one of those places where people, again, get confused about, well, am I not born neutral? No, you're not born neutral. You're born lost.
Right.
You're born dead, spiritually dead. And Jesus is the one who presents us with the choice to come alive. It's not that we're juggling the balls and saying, well, which one do I want to choose? Accept Jesus and you will be alive. Reject him and you will remain dead. It's as simple as that.
As simple as that. Friends, if you're just tuning in, it's Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Davis, greeting you as Andrew Farley joins Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me. A program note of two differently special programs coming up tomorrow and Friday here on Basic Gospel. What's it worth? The powerful story of Richard Piper that we talked about earlier. His journey from legalism to grace, from fear to faith. You'll hear what drove Richard to leave a lucrative position in a high-tech world and devote himself to connecting people to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's done that in spades since he's been with us at Basic Gospel, and probably for a while before that. What's it worth? Well, the Richard Piper story, as I said, two differently special days, tomorrow and Friday, on Basic Gospel. But right now, we have more questions coming in, Bob?
Well, we do. We had a question posted to us on Facebook, and I think it's a very important question. A gentleman named Don, a friend of this ministry, posted this question in response to a verse that I put up, 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. So this is a great passage that tells us that God has lavished his love on us in such a way that we are children of God. That's what we are. We don't know exactly what that's going to be, but when Christ is revealed, we're going to see him for who he is. And it says, everyone that has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. So Don wanted to know what it means for us to purify ourselves. How do we do that? And aren't we already clean? Haven't we already been made pure in Christ Jesus? So what in the world is John getting at when he says that those who have this hope purify themselves as he is pure?
Well, guys, it's exactly like what Jesus said when he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And people go, oh, my goodness, I better keep all his commandments. Am I keeping them enough? Do I love him enough? And then John here says that we will purify ourselves. So are we keeping his commandments? Are we purifying ourselves? What we see here in both cases is an indicative verb form that's active, but it's not a command. It's not something you better do, you have to do. Instead, it's an automatic thing. He is saying, number one, if you love me, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have this inborn love, this innate love inside of you, and you are going to end up keeping those new covenant commands that are written on your heart. That's what John 14 is saying. Well, 1 John 3 is saying the same thing. Anybody, any believer who has this hope in Jesus is going to automatically find themselves in a place of having a new heart, having a new spirit, and having Christ living in them. And you better believe it, Christ is not passive. He is very active. So there's going to be an inspiring and a motivating inside to let go of old thoughts, hang on to new thoughts, put off envy, put off slander, put off bitterness, bitterness and resentment and put on love and put on Christ. Why? Because we've got Christ living in us. We have this hope in Him. So this is an automatic byproduct of having Christ in us. It's exactly what Jesus was saying when He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He wasn't saying, you better do it, you got to do it, you have to do it, or look out. No, it was a statement of fact. And that is precisely what the Apostle John is doing here, guys. And it's really a promise. It's kind of like when Paul says, he who began a good work in you will carry you on to completion. We can depend on the active life of Christ inside of us to renew our minds and show us new ways to act and new ways to think going forward.
Yeah, I know. For me, an example, just kind of a real-life story, after I had this life transformation in college, and I really knew that I was alive in Christ. Well, I kind of went out with some of the guys like I used to do, and it was just this automatic thing. I don't fit here anymore. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I was trying to do anything. That was just the reality of who I was in Christ, my new identity. And I realized I don't fit. And so it was real easy to make the decision not to go to those places that I used to go to. And because it didn't do me any good back then, and it certainly wasn't going to do me any good going forward. So I just learned who I was, and those old things that I used to do, I just didn't fit anymore. They didn't fit with me. I didn't fit with them. So that's that statement of fact. It's you're just going to purify and just kind of disentangle yourself from those things. And I think we've all had those types of experiences, and that's just the reality of Christ in you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, think about what Paul said in Ephesians 2:10, right? All these works have been prepared in advance for us. And so if this purifying is the natural outgrowth of Christ in us, the hope of glory, then what we get to do in this purification is to discover all of the things that God has prepared for us way in advance before we were ever born, and we get to live those things out with the excitement and joy that discovery brings.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a question from Adam that fits right into this thing about identity. He says, we know that homosexuals need to repent in order to get to heaven, but what about people who have a sex change? Perhaps if they live heterosexually according to their new gender, will they'll be okay? What do we think?
Well, I mean, you certainly are not saved or made right with God through a sexual orientation. You're also not made wrong. I know of a believer that called into our program and became a believer after certain surgeries took place, and they were trying to reverse it, and their question was, can I reverse it, or should I reverse it? Is God going to be more pleased with me if I reverse this? And yet the doctors are telling me it could kill me. I mean, it could kill me if I go through these surgeries to reverse things, apparently because of the medications and how powerful they were. And you know, my advice at that time was, whoa, wait a minute now, let's just, perhaps we need to take Paul's advice in remaining in whatever state we might be and not put stock in a physical body, not put stock in a sexual orientation, so to speak, biologically. But we need to put our confidence in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and in the blood of Jesus. That's how we're forgiven. That's how we're righteous. And so, you know, use godly wisdom, rely on God's Spirit, make sound godly choices, but never, ever depend on your status, a marital status or a biological status, as far as getting right or staying right with Jesus. That always comes back to the cross, Calvary, and to the resurrection.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Thank you for being a part of today's program. We certainly appreciate your keen insights. Tomorrow and Friday, we have great programming as we let Richard tell his story of a journey from legalism to the grace of God. It's going to be a powerful broadcast. Bob, tell us more about that. And more of how people can join the Basic Gospel team and help deliver this good news and tell this story to as many people as possible.
Indeed. And just piggybacking on what you said, Bob, this is a reminder for our listeners that tomorrow and Friday, Richard will be sharing his story, What's It Worth? And we want you to be here to listen and absorb the truth that rescued Richard out of the bondage of religion and brought him to be with us at Basic Gospel. That's tomorrow and Friday right here. And we want to remind you also to be sure to remember that Basic Gospel needs your prayers and your support to keep this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace and love on the air and online. Donate today or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, and I hope you'll be with us tomorrow for What's It Worth? The Richard Piper Story on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.